helping people around us understand that we don't have the answers. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. But then grounding on what do we know, though? What is true? What's objectively true? What do we strongly believe? And then what do we want to happen?
Hi, and welcome to the Leadership Now series with Nick Vujicic and Christine Grimm, Aria Consulting, 23 years of executive coaching, and I'm humbled that she is my coach. I could not lead without the sound coaching from Christine, and I'm so glad, Chris, that we get to coach everyone watching. Tell us what we're going to be experiencing here on this series.
Yeah, we're going to coach you around leadership, around real challenges, how to navigate the challenges that you have right now, and how to feel good about it.
I'm so excited, Chris. You're going to be sharing with us also your pool of CEOs that can bring in and chime in some principles from their experience as well. Thank you for joining us here on the Leadership Now series. Here's today's episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Leadership Now series with Nick and Chris. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm great. Hi, Nick.
It's awesome to see you again. Thank you for bringing our very special guest, Jeremy Kost from Seattle, Washington. Hello, Jeremy.
Hello, hello. Excited to be here, guys.
Thank you for joining us. A real quick intro. I have to read it because it's just very, very important to let everyone know who the man is, Jeremy Kost. He is the former executive from T-Mobile and Microsoft. A multitasking, determined, and get it done leader. Come on. That's my type of friend. Board member for multiple startups, current president of a marketing analytics consulting firm, owner of Encore Cabinets and Millwork, a small family business that has also inspired you, Jeremy, to lead an effort to bring construction and small business back safely in Washington State. Jeremy, it is an honor. How is this turbulent time there in Seattle right now, and just unprecedented times, wouldn't you agree? Tell us a little bit, what is going on in the world of Jeremy and in Seattle?
Yeah, it's great. It's great to be here. And of course, we have a lot going on in our society, and most definitely in Seattle too. And you, as you mentioned, I have the privilege of just being involved in a number of different companies of different sizes and situations. And so it's been remarkable, frankly, to see the impacts differentially to these various businesses and the different people, both here in Seattle, as well as, you know, my friends and business colleagues across the world. So yeah, lots going on, lots of stress, but I'm happy to say that for the most part, the organizations I'm involved in are all moving forward, all positive attitude, and trying to see what we can do within our businesses, within our communities, within our families, just to keep keep things moving forward in these extremely trying times.
Really appreciate you joining us, Chris. We decisively loved unanimously this title of today's episode, Waltz on a Tightrope. Would love for you to preface that and position us for our listeners.
Yeah, so wow, lots going on, as you both have already mentioned. We went from pandemic now to, in the U.S., some social unrest that I don't think is going to go away anytime soon. We're already having people who have been trying to get their businesses back, thinking that they were going to be able to create some stability. I think this is creating new instability. So as we were planning for this, one, I was excited to get the two of you together because as I mentioned to you in our prep call, you know, the two of you are a lot alike, lots of energy, lots of what I lovingly call the Tasmanian devil, but also a lot of energy around helping be great leaders right now, whatever that means. So Waltz on the Tightrope feels appropriate. As you both know, I talk to leaders all day, every day. I get to live with people in their ups and downs. And right now we're in a weird time where there are people who are trying to figure out what this is. It feels like a lot of downs. It feels like people are unsure and uncertain about so many things that many of our leaders seem to be struggling to ground themselves. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And, you know, the image of the waltz on the tightrope was so compelling, Nick, when you first brought it as an idea. And I thought, yeah, let's talk about that, because that, if you break that down, I think it is actually what people are doing, right? Do I slow down? Do I stay on tempo? Like, how do I keep my partner with me so one of us doesn't fall down off this tightrope that seems like it's super high in the air, and not an easy way for us to move? So yeah, I thought the three of us could talk a little bit about that, and maybe starting with your, both of your, a little bit deeper dive in some current issues and how you've been dealing with it might be a way for us to think about what grounding yourself means, how we can help leaders start to think a little differently about that, what it means sometimes to slow down when you're a fast, action biased leader like the two of you.
Yeah, look, I don't know how it has been for you, Jeremy, but for me in the speaking industry, with all these things that have just closed off and just stopped, I love it when Chris is like, you got to meet Jeremy. You and you guys are the same, the Tasmanian devil. You just guys keep going and going and going. And it's almost surreal to look back and actually say that I've been on, you know, 2,500 plane rides around the world. And now for me to be physically grounded and to not know if that's going to come back, but really going back to the core and rawness and reality that many of us subconsciously find confidence and safety in rhythm. And when rhythm's taken away from a personal point of view, we subconsciously lose some sense of security, which is what I'm going through. And people are like, what do you mean? You know, you're, you know, a little bit, you know, anxious, or you, you know, you're uncertain about, you know, because they see me as someone that is solid, motivational, but without my ground, I love being grounded, that term where I know that my value is not determined on what I do, but it, and I know that, you know, I've got my faith, my family, and those are the two biggest pillars of strength and grounding that I can always go back to. And so in a sense, it's like, okay, I know that I'm not defined, but I also had satisfaction in what I was doing. And then that deep question with fear-based emotions, it's like, well, when does normal come back? I feel like I just need a rhythm that I'm not even getting back and not even knowing what that looks like. Plus, we're moving state right now. I've got four kids, we're homeschooling, you know, like it's crazy right now. And a certain sense, there on the other side, the flip side, it's good. I'm 37 years old. I've never known the, how would you say, the experience of starting a company and then selling a company and then feeling like, man, that would be really nice to start a company, sell a company, and then see what I want to do. Mm. It's like, I'm already there and I don't even like that feeling. Jeremy, how has it been for you guys, your coworkers, your vendors, your customers, and your leadership with your team right now, with the rhythm not even being there, that and who knows, right? If we could ever say going back to normal, I suspect that there will not be that normal coming back.
Yeah, I agree. That's whether we call it the new normal or whatever we want to call it, I think that we we've changed forever. And you know, certain things will remain constant through that change. One is the need for leadership. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And you know, as we've discussed in our prep call too, is that around just our, some have talked about this in the academic world, of just our undying and almost biological need for leadership. That's what's distinguished us as a species. What's allowed us to, you know, come out of the jungles and the Saharas and the deserts to be able to become the society of who we are today and conquer, and is that constant need for leadership, for orchestration, for cooperation. And so, you know, in times like these, in under pressure people, I think we all seek out leadership and have, there's even a higher expectation of that because leaders help us to, you know, help give that rhythm that you're talking about. That's one of our key accountabilities, both, you know, at home, in our communities, and at work. And, you know, I know that when I think back about this, we are most definitely in unprecedented times, but I think back through my life and what, Nick, you've clearly been through some amazing adversity. I think back of growing up in a very small town, blue collar upbringing, mm-hmm. Unemployment of over 20% when they shut down logging because of the spotted owl. And I saw through that time how leaders led through that and helped rally the community, helped make things better. And that's just an example of many of those times I've had throughout my career where I benefited from seeing that leader provide confidence, provide rhythm, provide the types of things that we're now being called upon as leaders in our lives. So while there's most definitely unprecedented, what we're going through is unprecedented and probably unpredictable, these things happening together, there are some of these things that they can draw on and then come to rise. But then I think also, Nick, we talked about this before too, is that we are all human and we all have our uncertainties and our emotions about this, and having, you know, giving ourselves some time to reflect on that as leaders and also be transparent with those around us that we're having some of those feelings and some of those concerns as well. So they know that we're not robots. We're leaders and people. And then moreover, one of the reasons I was excited to come on this podcast, one of many reasons, is just about your guys' focus on coaching. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, Chris is now a very close personal friend of mine, but we started with a professional coaching relationship. And what I learned is, you know, as I'm running forward in my Tasmanian devil approach and all my frenetic energy and stuff, is a lot of coaching from Chris, as well as other mentors and peers and friends, just about what I needed to do and how I needed to flex to be effective in times like these. Mm-hmm. And so that's the direct benefit of some of that feedback, but then also using that small set of trusted friends to also talk about some of those emotions and challenges and things that you're having in your life and your business, that I'm having in my life and business. There's a lot going on. There always is. You know, folks like us, we always have a lot going on. It's even more seemingly now, but that need to be a good leader, to rely on mentors and coaches to help guide us and to be there and provide that rhythm for our teams and those other people that rely on us. It's all things I'm thinking about pretty regularly.
Yeah. On that context of being the leader that people rely on, right? It's that waltz on a tightrope where, Christine, you know, what are you seeing as far as like, because I know that as a leader for me, when people are quote unquote, you like my quotation marks, relying on me, like as a visionary leader, as a Tasmanian devil, it's almost like, hey, look, I'm a horse on a horse track. Show me the track, open the gate, and I'll tell everyone exactly where we're going and let's run. Mm-hmm. Now with so much uncertainty, are you finding like even some leaders faking their confidence, or how does someone lead a team that feels chaotic, that is driven by fear-based emotions right now?
Right. So, wow, both of you just said a lot of really important things. And I want to model for the two of you some grounding and keep this kind of calm so that our audience can learn something right now. So important things. First, Nick, yes, a lot of leaders are having difficulty now. And my observation is the reason it feels so difficult is because when we get to the level of pressure through fear and uncertainty that we're living right now as humans, so forget leadership for a second. Humans right now are in a place where we're afraid. Even people who don't know how to admit that are feeling all the uncertainty around it as some emotion. And so at the very fundamental, probably subconscious levels, because that is existing, it's getting harder and harder for people to fake anything, right? So faking right now is way harder than it's ever been. So I am watching a lot of leaders who before were great at managing themselves so that when they were speaking publicly, when they were leading, et cetera, that they could find a place where they could frame messages and keep their cool and not be completely authentic, or at least not show the part of them that was as afraid as everybody else. And that is getting more difficult for my leaders, right? So I just wanna say, if that's you out there, that's normal. Right now it's normal because faking's hard. So let me help everybody with that. something the two of you have learned in coaching, and I'm going to offer it to. So what people need right now are leaders who are grounded and focused on ensuring some level of quality outcome. Of those outcomes could be super clear, like we need to do this right now. And some of it might be unclear. I don't know what we need to do next. And just the ability for leaders to calm.
One second.
I want to bring whatever chaos and fear I might be feeling into the conversation, because that's just going to be contagious, and it's gonna trigger. If people aren't already triggered, that would trigger them into having more fear. Oh my gosh, our leader doesn't know the answer. We don't need a lot of Chicken Little, right? Like, we don't need more swirl. We need leaders who are calm. We need people who are as calm as they can be. On our website, ariacoach.com, I'm going to put it in the link to this. In the blog, there's something called Stop, Challenge, and Choose. It is not something that I made up. We've been using it for many, many years. It comes out of a book called Play to Win by the late Larry Wilson, his son Hirsch Wilson. Anyway, it's in the blog. The tool is there. Anyone can go and grab that after you finish listening to this awesome podcast. Stop, Challenge, and Choose is an exercise to help an individual, again, get grounded and calm. So if you're feeling out of control or afraid, the best thing for a leader to do is stop, breathe, challenge your own thinking to make sure that what you're about to say to people is not just authentic, but also is intentional, right? Like, I'm going to manage what I do and say right now authentically so it doesn't create more swirl, right? So that the outcomes we get are people who can move forward in whatever way I need them to move forward, whether that's at work around keeping people productive. Maybe it's helping talk through a difficult situation. You know, the social unrest we're having right now is very real, and it is grounded in years and years and years of cultural norms that have never been okay, right? And this is not an easy situation for anybody to talk about, because I think everyone, I'll speak for as a white woman in this country, like, I sometimes don't know how to talk about these issues around race. Sometimes I don't even know how to talk about issues around gender. They're complicated because they're triggering to people. And so I'm using that as an example of where leaders right now are faced with all these extra things, that some of which have been there. With the pandemic, we have something that we haven't experienced before. And so again, stop, challenge yourself, choose your words carefully, think about the outcomes you want, anchor into values. I could talk about this, as you guys know, for hours, so I won't do that. I'll just say that if this is resonating with anyone and you need tools, please access the ones that we have. And to Jeremy's point, you know, find other people who are grounded, whether it's a coach or whether it is actually people from your inner circle who can be objective and who actually have proven themselves to be able to help you ground, right? Not swirl you up.
Yeah. Definitely. And that's a framework that Chris actually used with me earlier in my career that I found quite successful whenever I feel myself, you know, getting frustrated with a situation, getting emotional of any kind of situation, of just literally having that physical reaction of just stopping, taking a few breaths, and letting the right part of the mind catch up with the emotional elevator of that time. And then in terms of grounded leadership and being authentic, part of it is that acknowledgement that I have found is that helping people around us understand that we don't have the answers. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. But then grounding on what do we know, though? What is true? What's objectively true? What do we strongly believe? And then what do we want to happen? Because there may be a way for us to influence the outcome if we do things right. But that acknowledgement of we can't know everything, we're not going to know everything, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, and we can't control that. I've seen that in most situations when we talk through that as a team, really helping ground people. It's like, okay, well, we're not all crazy. Nobody has all the answers, but now let's come together. Let's talk about what we do know and what we want to happen. And whether that's, in times I think back in my career around inheriting the Windows business at Microsoft after the failure of Windows 8. I remember a couple of weeks of just, I had no idea what to do. I had no idea how we, and not just me, but the very smart people that had come together to solve that challenge. Mm-hmm. How had we, that had been a failure. Apple and Google were both making very strong inroads, and what are we going to do? And then, after taking that, acknowledging that we didn't have all the answers, what do? We started chipping away. Well, here's what we do know. Here's what we can do. Here's what is true. And the team starts feeling that progress because they're like, okay, we are moving forward. We are making progress. The hill that we're going to take is still a long ways away. We can barely see it maybe, but okay, we're going to learn more. We're going to do more. We are going to be more predictable through that. And that's most definitely, that was a case I think about in my career. And then most recently in this current crisis, I mean, in our family small business, we ended up having to furlough most of the company. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is just unimaginable. It's something that it's the family company. So that, is even more impactful than some of the corporate rips that I've been involved in, of course, in larger environments. But at that same time, it's like, okay, I've never been in this situation before. Most definitely never owned a manufacturing company. I'm a tech guy. I'm a tech and a consultant. This is real product and real people and all these things. But then grounding ourselves, and as we've been talking about, grounding ourselves with others, people. I'm lucky enough in my family business that the founder and former owner is still here in advisory capacity. My landlord is actually a close friend and is very involved in the community here where we're located. So by using some of those folks to think about what can we do, what should we be doing to be able to move this forward. And I, of course, bring some of the experience that I've had in throughout my life. We've been successful. We were able to rehire folks within a couple of weeks. We actually had a great month last month because we were able to, pull together some of the essential projects we were working on for nursing homes and healthcare facilities and some of these other things, and to be able to provide that while some of our competitors ended up having to remain closed. And so, we're not out of the woods yet. We're still taking the same approach. It's still uncertain. This could have particularly the economic situation that we were dealing with, the societal issues that we're dealing with, both politically and civil unrest, all those things are still not determined, but the team's attitude is still one of uncertainty, but is one of at least more confidence and more of that rhythm that we've been talking about throughout this is, okay, let's make sure that we're at least moving forward. We may not be moving forward particularly as fast as I'd like, but at least we're moving forward and making progress, and we can see that.
Yeah, my heart really goes out to the leaders of companies where not only do they not know what the future looks like, but they weren't able to pivot like your company was able to pivot. Mm-hmm. I've done everything we could. We're not even anywhere near where we used to be as far as momentum, traction, and all these things. And some things have been birthed, and some of it's actually a long shot. Not a long shot, but a long-term shot and a slow burn. And we're building that up and we're pivoting as best as we can. It's one thing for a leader I like Australian oceans, right? Like they are actually one of the beautiful oceans in the world. I miss Gold Coast. And sometimes you get ripped in a current. And one moment you think you're only in, just above the ground, and then you're kind of dog paddling and then trying to catch some waves, and before you know it you look back at the shore and you are way out, and it's like, where are my feet, where's my grounding, like being grounded. I'm actually, like it's beautiful for anyone who's been able to pivot to then get some good news, see some silver lining on the clouds, but how does a leader and even a team understand that this is actually an exciting moment where the layers are being pulled off, where, you know, there are some team members who've had confidence and value-based thinking in my value as a human being, because this is who I am and this is what I do and this is my company does and this is why I'm valuable and this is why I, what makes me feel happy. When that's taken away and there's no good news, what are some keys? I'm going to throw it to both of you, whoever wants to talk about this. And I know that off camera, we talked about HBR article on ambiguity and bringing all this together. It's really interesting to me to not miss the opportunity as leaders and as a team to say, hey, we haven't been able to pivot like other companies, but don't forget your value. Go find that grounding for yourself, your value, your grounding, so that we're not just like reacting like the chickens. What are the tools that you guys have seen work for you when there is a sense of chaos and uncertainty and even not any good news? And maybe talk about that article as you guys want to embrace that part too.
Well, one thing I want to give Crystal credit for, I turn it over to her, is that, you know, she's advised me throughout my career. You're talking about that riptide and that current, and you find yourself way away from shore. You know, we also, Nick, I know enough about you to know that we're running so fast and we're so forward that we need to make sure to take a look back and make sure we're bringing people with us. You know, that thing is making sure that they do understand where we're going, why we're going. They're part of that. That to your point around that values, we're valuing them. We understand them. And that folks like us who are frenetic energy Tasmanian devils aren't just running and expect that everybody's running at the same speed and following us. And particularly like times like these, because we're all dealing with these emotions and things at home and things outside of work that are, of course, making it even harder for us to focus and follow and run along with a leader than it has even in normal times. That's something that, again, my good friend Chris has had to tap me on the shoulder and whisper in my ear many times throughout my work with her.
Yeah, let me offer, thanks, Jeremy, for that. I love my work, by the way, so I love tapping the two of you and others on the shoulder. I'm honored to be in the role, and thanks for allowing it. I would say to people, I think that we are in a moment, and frankly, 3-4 weeks ago, all of us were still focused on this pandemic is temporary, now let's get to reopening. We were talking about what that meant. Now, like I said, we have added issues and things that are now also in the conversation, making it more complicated than before. So my thought is, first of all, some of your basic instincts, and I'm talking not just the two of you, but every person who feels driven right now to take action, some of those instincts are not gonna get you what you want. So in this moment, I would say to leaders, world leaders, leaders of our country, please, of states and cities, leaders of businesses, leaders of families, it is time for you to pause and consider your intentions. Like, what am I really trying to do? What is the impact I'm having on immediately on those around me? What is the lasting impact that might come from those things before you take action? For those of us who have a bias for action and are upset about something or anxious to get our business back open, whatever those drivers are, we're anxious to get our kids back to school. We're anxious to leave our homes. Whatever it is that you think you need to do and you're driving towards, I would just say that in this moment, I think we're calling each other to pause, whatever that means. If it's a minute, great. If it's an hour, great. If it is days, great. But consider intention, impact before you take action, because we are in the situations that we're in. Because of the way we've behaved in the past. And some of it was so embedded And I really am talking about everything, guys. Like, you know, we a few weeks back, we were doing episodes. We did one with Sean Lippman around moving the goalpost. And we talked about, you know, some businesses being able to pivot, like we were saying, easily in context. So, some businesses having a little harder time, but really thinking about what it means to their business, maybe even just reacting to what was happening. And some businesses not coming back in the wake of COVID-19. Now we're adding on top of it that we have other considerations that also might have economic impact to businesses, to people in the way they live, to people in the way they think. So I think that it's a wake-up call for all of us to, again, stop and consider what we're doing and not just drive to immediate action, specifically when we're acting out of emotions that are intense, extreme, and negative. So I think that has to go along with not just do we have uncertainty and ambiguity, we actually have situations here where our old thinking and our bias for action might be a part of what is the problem. 100%. And for many people, by the way, that's a hard message. You can be mad at me. Boy, don't I spend a lot of time with that. Nick, you said the other day, it's a love hate. I'm like, you hate me. Not really. You know, but if I'm on this earth to get some of you to pause before you take the next action, then I'm happy to do that. And I hope you do it for yourselves. Like I said, leading your families, not just your businesses, because if we don't, we'll just repeat the same things over and over again. And by the way, we'll restart businesses potentially unsafely. We already talk about what if COVID comes back and we have round two, round three, round whatever. Why? Well, because we didn't actually think about what it meant to open. I mean, Jeremy, you're dealing with a group of leaders in the state of Washington, right? Back to work, Washington. It was one of the smartest ideas I had seen in a long time. And I mean that not just because I think you're smart, but I was happy to see that was an effort. Like, oh, what are we doing? We're considering intention and impact before we take action.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's really good advice that you're reminding me of live right now. Because I think leaders like Nick and I and so many of our friends are biased for actions. We are Tasmanian devils. And I know in times like these, that becomes perhaps amplified because, you know, frankly, I don't want to have a lot of extra time on my mind to think about other things. I want to be busy. I want to be doing things because that helps me feel positive. But yet what you're saying is exactly right, is we've got to be intentional about that. And one of the things that I think about through times like these, as well as the other businesses challenges you've been through, where's that North Star? Where are we going? What is that hill? And that's a combination of values and principles, both the way that our organizations and cultures sit, that are a grounding and baseline for the way we do things. And then where are we going? Where is it that we want to go? And then that pivot that we've been talking about is, well, okay, we're taking in current context. And we're trying to understand, we still want to be going the same direction. Hopefully we're still using the same grounded value system and principles that we've had, but now times have changed and we need to move forward in a different way, perhaps. That's the pivot. But Chris, what you're saying is exactly right, is that let's make sure that we take the time to evaluate the situation and not just move. And then, you know, but frankly, like Back to Work Washington, the very small movement we started here was, I saw a lot of folks around us in our industry, in the family business, the construction side of my life, who, you know, didn't have some of that leadership, were just really, really worried, really concerned, not sure what was going on. And what we did is we rallied 13 industry partners together, created a logo, printed t-shirts, and tried to put some more energy back into it and celebrating the fact that, no, times are tough, but actually what we do together as an industry is important for our community. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that getting back to work and building Washington in a safe way was more important than ever. And so let's celebrate that. And let's give some people some reasons to celebrate that. So what was exciting to me about that was just how quickly some of our partners here locally on a very microcosm scale, you know, rallied around that message and got together and, you know, and again, moving forward in an intentional manner and hopefully providing some positivity back to those who we work with and serve.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. You know, these last couple of days I've been thinking about, you know, when schools open back up. Yeah. And thinking of all these middle schoolers who are not participating in the silent protests or the peaceful protests, sorry. When it goes back to school, you know, as a child that hasn't found their values yet. I mean, we're talking about social emotional learning. We're talking about values based education that doesn't, it's not being taught in classrooms. And it's later on in life that we realize, hey, yeah, I realize how important it is to know the truth of who I am and my belief system, and knowing that it's greater than me just living and experiencing and having, but it's and more than existing and coexisting, there is this bridge in that element of community, of unity, of making a positive impact, in knowing who you are and knowing that everything you do has impact, everything you say has impact, positive or negative. And so as leaders, obviously, it's really important for us to pause, to breathe, to assess where's the sand underneath my feet. And I love that visual. Sorry, I'm going back to the ocean when you're saying, Chris, I remember that's what I was doing. I'm like just action, 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 where it didn't really get me anywhere. It's like trying to paddle your hardest when the sea's getting ready for another wave, waiting for that wave. I think obviously it teaches you wisdom, patience, and that's where resilience comes in. It's understanding when to paddle. It's understanding when not to paddle. It's understanding when to pause and when to do something, to say something or not to say anything at all. And those things were taught by my parents as a now a young adult looking back. The grounding of my values was based on my circumstance, my view of my circumstance, my view of the world, my view of the world of me, and then what I'm supposed to do and my perception of that. There's so many layers to this that if you were not raised in a safe home, loving home, protective home, yet not too overprotective, there is a point in everyone's life where we realize, oh my gosh, who am I? Why am I here? And I'm so nervous about this next generation who feels like with the lack of value, with the lack of purpose, they're trying to find it. And what does that even look like to have our place in this world if you have no grounding to values? And if it's not being taught at home, and if it's not being taught at school, you know, everyone on our level, we're like, wait a second, we need to lead with values. I'm looking forward to the, you know, next generation thinking, how are they going to lead us if they don't find their values now? In some sense, it feels like values in this country are being questioned with ways that either have just been suppressed or I've been blinded to, or we just don't realize just how much of a lack of values we have. That's a lack of being aware of our values and the effect of our actions. Whether we're a leader or whether we're someone who just can't wait to go to school to make their voice heard in part of it with the void of not having those values yet. This is how I'm going to put my stake in the ground and my position and my territory. I didn't even know exactly what came out of my mouth, but you know what I mean? Like it's just those thoughts. The last couple of days, I'm like, what about the young people when it opens up? Sure, we're talking about COVID, but I'm even thinking about these current situations. I'm concerned that more than ever, I know that our Attitude is Altitude social emotional learning curriculum, we all the parents watching, check it out over the summer. Right now, there are free social emotional learning lessons that people are doing with their children from kindergarten to grade 12, just to teach values and morals with videos of me. But, you know, everyone on the educational wave around the world, because I've been talking to education systems around the world the last 12 to 18 months, everyone's lips was about value, value, value. And it was the spearhead of bullying and disunity and not understanding that you have a positive impact to make in society. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, we're in now survival mode, so we can't invest anything into an extracurricular activity. It's interesting that oxymoron, it's like, wait a second, but it is the most crucial thing right now to teach these values into the next generation.
Well, wait, Nick, can I just say something? Like, something that you just said, like, was running in my head, and I just have to say it out loud. You know, so we are actually modeling for our children every second of every minute, every day, our values. So whether you talk about it on purpose or not, the kids, they always have been from when in the womb to in your living room to when they graduate and through their life, they get what we call hand-me-down values, you know, first through your DNA, but then it's happening. Like they are learning from us. So it's not about it. The curriculum is helpful because all that really is, if you think about it, is a choice by an adult to do this on purpose. Right. So if I'm an adult and I buy curriculum, like you're saying, or if I'm a teacher and I buy curriculum and I say, I'm going to do this now with my kids or my employees on purpose, the transaction of buying the materials and learning the materials and doing that means I'm going to do this differently than I've been doing it. But we've been doing it. We are doing it right now. How we react to the news, how we talk about things, what our behavior looks and feels like, what our nonverbals look and feel like, the vibration in your home, in your workplace, with your employees and your children, you are teaching values. So if that's the only thing people learned from this podcast today, we've done a big service here, because the whole wake up and get conscious thing, that's what we're talking about, right? Like it is. Thanks, Corona. Hashtag thanks, Corona. You know, this process has not only kind of forced everyone to slow down and stay home for a bit, it's also, whether you like it or not, exposing who we are. So it's not surprising to me, by the way, that we were at that kind of tipping point where now we're also not going to put up with a whole bunch of things that were wrong the whole time. But it's now we have parts of the population, or I hope everybody, saying, yep, you're right, this needs to change. And what needs to change? Well, first of all, we actually have to do it on purpose and realize, like, what have we been doing? What are we doing? What are you doing right now? And then, like you're saying, maybe if you need some structure, which I highly recommend, that, you know, people do find a way to do that. And, yeah.
Do you feel, Chris, like it was really interesting. I've never told you this before, but Jeremy, you know, as a president, founder of a 501c3, and as an executive, we have to go through these trainings online for HR, right? And man, it was like, I have to do 2 hours of watching videos and answering multiple choice questions about how the 1,000 different ways we could be sued. And someone not feeling like they're being heard, or when a complaint's done, sexual harassment, this, that. How do you guys see corporate America with the sensitivity? I mean, and it's hypersensitive in California more than many other states in the country. And it's like, it was almost as if, man, if I actually watched this before starting a nonprofit in California, I don't know if I would have wanted to start something in California, because there are just so many things that have been defined to make sure, which is a good thing, to protect everyone. How do you make your team feel protected in such an uncertain way to make people feel like they are being heard if they have something to say, while we're doing social distancing with super sensitive topics, with other people's perception of values and how they're reacting to the news, or reacting to you reacting or not reacting? I mean, we just had an interesting discussion. I've got 12 million social media fans, and we had an internal confidential, you know, discussion, like, are we reacting to this or are we not reacting to it? If we're reacting to it, how do we react to it? And it's like, well, people are going to judge you if you react, and people are going to judge you if you don't react. And then if you, it's got damned if you did, damned if you don't. But how do you in corporate leadership, you know, do this and keep everyone as a team grounded through so much uncertainty without you faking it, that you know what's going on, and you in a way saying, hey, Kate, these are the ground rules, right, Chris? You taught me and my team, these are the ground rules. Make sure you honor the ground rules. I love that. What are the ground rules, guys, for this play? This is huge. And Chris, Jeremy, I know you know what the ground rules are. You know, I think it's important that people who don't know what ground rules are, I mean, I didn't know what ground rules were until Christine Graham said, hey, let's talk about ground rules. What rules? And it just changed our trajectory, changed our team dynamic. How does someone implement ground rules in these times practically with social distancing, with the uncertain times, with also understanding people's different perspective on hypersensitive issues that affects everyone?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot there, and I'll definitely say personally, I don't have all the answers to that. And I think as part of leadership, I mean, leadership is definitely a journey, and we're learning and building new muscles all the time. And I think that's part of the importance of coaching and the importance of mentoring and leaders too, is that to recognize that, wow, there was a lot that you just said there, a lot of super important things. And none of us, I don't care, born with some innate ability to just be able to go out and address all of those effectively.
Right.
We're learning that through experience. We're learning it through coaching. We're learning it through mentoring. And we're learning it through, like Chris was saying, an observation, whether that's us as young children or our children, or just as we're observing and admiring or not admiring the actions of leaders around us. But what I, you know, what some of the ground rules and other, like, to me, like, perhaps related to that is our principles, is the principles and values that we've talked about. And in the workplace, I think, like you were talking about some of the legal and risk management things that have come up. We've got to understand that those are necessary because of some of the bad things that have happened, but we can't rely on them. Those are necessary, but not sufficient.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Help us reach as many people as possible by giving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to this podcast. Love you so much. And remember, share this with anyone you know who needs to hear this as well. I'll see you next week.